Good God, 2 years of this. In this episode, we have...
Oh, 100%.
I love that
our
stuff.
Short films. They may not be everyone's cup of tea.
To everyone's
they're never
going to
end up at a film festival, although they did end up on the Cheap Show one.
Yeah.
Oh, remembering our best bits.
That doesn't make sense.
Oh, sorry. You,
it doesn't
you,
make
you ordered
sense,
a white fly and are a spider.
Another game, Tom. It better be good this time.
Are now moving on.
No, you haven't so made Nodswatch out of my first wish.
Taste testing goes wrong.
Can I also point out, it only took one episode for us to fuck it up and say it was 2.4 and 6. Because we're that good. Not even one episode and we got our own scoring wrong.
Right, let's enjoy the episode. But wait, what are those two chipmunks saying?
Look, Mini-Monk, everything the office lights touch is our kingdom. Atlas of Riz! A chipmunk's time as challenge setter opens and closes like the local toy shop. One day, Mini-Monk, the toy shop will close on my time here and will open with you as the new challenge setter.
And those two idiots will be mine?
Unfortunately.
Wow, it's like Rizmas all over again.
Stop saying Riz.
Welcome back to the Variety Show podcast with me, Tom, and him, Rob. It is our episode 50 of... God, that sounds awful. It's just our episode 50.
Yeah.
That means we've gone through 2 years, including our kind of couple of times that we've taken off as holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
We are at the two-year mark. So this is episode 1 of season 3. How do you feel?
Good.
yeah, just put you on the spot just... there.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's been 2 years.
It really doesn't feel like it's been 2 years. And I mean, just think, it's because we're doing it alternating weeks, 50 doesn't sound that big for 2 years worth of content. But when you think, actually, that's quite a lot.
Well, you know, actually, technically, we've been doing it for 4 years because it was during COVID that you reached out to Telf and I to do the 3 Dads 1 Pod.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah.
Blimey, yeah, so we have been doing it for a lot longer than I thought.
But in its current iteration, two years.
In the good iteration.
Yeah.
The consistent iteration.
What do they call that kind of stuff? Like, they're the real, this is the canon.
No, but you know, the 3 Dads 1 Podcast was brilliant, and it gave us a lot of ideas about what you can do and what you can't do, and all of that jazz. So actually, it did help us move forward and come up with everything that we do now.
Yeah.
But yeah, the past 2 years, it's just gone amazingly quick. But excluding that, because we'll talk about that in a moment, how's your week been?
Good. I tell you what, I cannot stop playing on the bloody Steam Deck.
Oh, really?
Every evening, I'm like getting up like 20 minutes and whatever. Playing Draken still. I have a confession. Sorry, everybody. I got so fed up with it because I'm loving the game so much. But it's got the thing like a lot of the older games did where they're kind of hard sometimes just for the fucking sake of it.
Yeah.
And the difficulty just negates the fun. You never have money. There's never any money. You collect so much of it. Like you can get like 5 or 6,000 gold.
Hang on, right? Which game are we talking
Draken
about?
Draken.
Okay, so it's still Draken.
Still
okay.
Draken. And you have to like repair your armor and your swords.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's 3 grand to repair my sword. Oh, my armor's broken. 2 grand. Got no money. And I can't go and buy the new armor and swords because I'm not high enough level yet. But I'm at a point now where they're breaking in the middle of dungeons. You can't leave the dungeon. So I'm in the middle of a dungeon right now. My sword's broken. I've nearly lost all my armor and I'm using a bow and arrow, which you can't move and shoot with. So I cheated and got 10,000 gold.
Ooh,
yeah,
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I know. I sat there for a little while going, I just need money. I can't. I had 1,000 gold. I couldn't buy any weapon that would have been even remotely good to fight the level that I'm at. You can't go back to grind. When you're where you are, you're where you are.
To be fair, it sounds very much like me in SimCity. I love SimCity. And I can get a nice starting town that turns into a starting city, and I can do quite well up to that point. And then it just crashes and burns every time. So immediately then I'm straight into the cheats and think, you know what, let's just get a couple of million. I know it causes a few disasters. We'll let them settle down. And then I just use it just to build whatever the fuck I want.
Oh, when you use cheats, do you get disasters? It makes you have
so
disasters.
So yeah, what happens in SimCity, and a lot of them, I don't know if it does it in the modern ones, if you continually cheat, and I think, on 2000 and 3000, you could do the money cheat 9 times, but the 10th time would trigger a random disaster.
Oh, that's quite cool.
So what you do is you kind of get your money and you get it at the very beginning of the game if you're going to cheat.
And then let it happen.
Just really build up, let it all happen, and then get on with the game.
Yeah. So that's where I was at, though. I couldn't buy any new weapons or armor, couldn't repair any new weapons or armor. I had 1,000 gold. What do? I can't go into a dungeon to get... When you leave a dungeon, you only get like 500 or 600 extra. That's still not enough to repair any of my armor or my stuff.
Oh, I didn't press the button hard enough.
Go and press it.
That's the wrong button.
Hey, do you want to go... Wah, wah, wah?
There we go. In both ways, that was deserved. Yeah.
So I gave myself 10,000 gold so I could repair my armor and my sword. And that's what I've used it for.
No, I don't have a problem.
So now
with that.
I can continue having fun again. Now, which
of course,
is what I want.
What you need to do is go and listen to the Untitled Sci-Fi Show, where we talk about gaming more, because you'll understand more about what we're talking about. Because I don't think we've talked about on the variety show what these handhelds are.
Yeah.
And we haven't also, and I don't think we brought it up on the Untitled Sci-Fi Show, that we are doing this challenge where we have to complete a game that we've started now.
Yes.
So I'm on Duke Nukem 0 Hour.
Yeah.
And it's becoming a bit laborious. I am going to complete it. I'm nearly there, but it is starting to drag a little bit.
I originally said, if you start a game, you have to finish it and you get a point. That was the original thing. I said, but if you start a game and don't finish it, you're going to lose half a point or a point away. I can't remember what I said. And then I backtracked majors as I went along. When I wrote down a list of all the games I've already started or played this year, I've got like 6 or 7. I was like, I'm not going to finish these. I'm going to finish the year on -7.
Exactly.
So it is very much just an encouragement that whichever one of us can finish the year with the most points. You've already got 1 point because you've already finished James Bond.
And Half-Life 2, so I've got 2 points.
Oh, you finished Half-Life 2, so you're on 2 points.
I'm on 2 points.
So I'm still on 0 because I haven't finished Draken yet. Why have I chosen a long-ass fucking game?
And I'm not going to be mean as well. I'm not going to like choose some really short-ass games from the Game Boy era and just like pound out a few
but
points.
But Tetris, you're just going to do Tetris. Oh, I finished the first level, that counts.
No, it doesn't though, does it? Completing a game is not just getting the first level of a game. So for me, the world is not enough. I'm counting as that completed as I completed it on a mode that it provides, and I went from level 1 all the way to the last level.
Oh yeah, that's
we're not talking completionist here, because
no.
Going back to that talk we had ages ago, I am allowed to enjoy a game on whatever level I choose, because that is gaming. Not, oh, if you don't play it on the hardest, you're not a gamer. Well, go fuck yourselves.
It's not fun though, is it?
Exactly.
Doing it on hard, it's not fun.
Not in the slightest.
So who am I going to boast to about it? Oh yeah,
true. You just hear it on here.
Yeah, and it's just like everyone would just go, shut up.
So, boys, what are you planning for 2025, or as we title it on the show, Season 3?
So, we are in Season 3 of this show. We are not moving weekly. First of all, I'm going to put that on the table. There is absolutely no way we're going to move this show to weekly, because we've got the Untitled Sci-Fi Show, and it would be not fair to try and do 3 lots of recordings.
Hang on, who said we were moving? Who implied
no, no
we were
one,
moving
but
weekly?
The idea is that I'm kind of saying what the future is for the show at the moment and what Season 3 is going to be, and I'm putting it out there just in case anyone's thinking, could we move weekly? It ain't happening.
Yeah, we'll close the door on
if
that.
If you
one.
Want to listen to us weekly, then you go and listen to the Untitled Sci-Fi Show as well. Then you get a dose of us every week.
Yay, and it would send you to the asylum.
Well, it might be a little bit like it might like be, oh my God.
Are you okay?
I can taste pennies.
Do you need 8 minutes?
Right. It would be a little like having an enema. You'll enjoy it, I'm sure.
Okay, it was worth it. Good
it was
you.
Worth it, of course it was. Anyway, what's coming in this season? Basically more of the same. Really, we want the variety show to grow with popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably the last, I think we must be up to 15 episodes now where I changed everything up, where we make Valentino say what's coming up on the show. We have very fixed sections. We have a call sheet that actually has time limits to it.
Mm-hmm.
I know the last one was meant to be 5 minutes and we were at 6 minutes, but even that was better than we were.
Yeah.
So we are trying to grow as a show. So we are going to keep it more of the same. And then I guess really what is coming up. So we've got a few more games and we're going to play a new game today, which I'm looking forward to. We've got new quizzes that I'm working out. We've got out and about episodes that we need to do. So for ages, the Chipmunk has set a charity shop challenge where we have £10 each and an hour to run around our local town. And she has set envelopes aside with what we have to buy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's going to rate our purchases and tell us who won. And that's been since last year. So we need to get that one done.
Organize ourselves to do it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Then we've got more filming. I was thinking as I was looking through the episodes, which we'll talk about in the next section. We said we were going to come up with our own tango episode, tango adverts even.
Oh, sugar, we did,
and
didn't
record
we?
Them. Now, I've got mine. I've written mine all down. Mine's ready to record.
Oh, I haven't done it at all, yeah.
But I've got to record it. Then I've also got to work out how am I going to turn someone into this big splash of orange, because that's what happened in the tango adverts, and that's what I want in ours. So, yeah, there's a few things I've got to work out, but we've got to get those done. So that's... from my point of view, what kind of what's coming up with you though, Rob? What do you want for the future of the variety show? Is there anything you want to add or start thinking about?
I really enjoyed the seed stuff and the biscuit thing we did.
Oh, 100%.
I loved that
our
stuff.
Short films. They may not be everyone's cup of tea.
To everyone's
they're never
going to
end up at a film festival, although they did end up on the Cheap Show one.
Yeah.
They've been some of the best film and fun that I've had doing those. So I agree. I would love to do more of those at
Have
some
I
point.
Have I admitted what I did to you yet on the Seed show? Is it picked up on the microphone? You know when you went over to the other side and you had to sit there?
Yeah, and you hear you say... He's showing the middle finger. I think he's had enough.
Yeah, but when you start walking out, I think I said something like, just do it for 5 minutes and I'll wave. As soon as you went out of earshot, I just turned to Mark and went, I have no intention of telling him how long he's been sat.
I don't think that's cool.
I might not have started the camera yet.
But we were using the microphone. Yeah. So I think that is on the recording.
Maybe.
It's just a matter of we didn't paste it in because we were trying to cut the time.
I said something
down.
Like, I've no intention, I'm not going to tell him, I'm just going to let him sit there.
I vaguely remember you saying that, actually. So, yes, I did know about that one, arsehole. But you'd like to do some more short films.
I'd love all that stuff. I want to do more of that, yeah.
Do we do it about Prison Pigeon again, though, or do we do something different?
Where is he at in the canon of that stuff? Last time we saw him, he was in the tree, wasn't he?
He was, yes. He was going to bed in the tree after being stoned out of his tits on seed. Oh, no. The last we saw him was then in a house playing Soggy Biscuit.
Oh, yes, with Mokin.
With Mokin.
And you.
Yeah, lucky me.
He needs a redemption arc, doesn't he? So maybe we'll have to do something with him at some point.
Yeah, we probably do need to do something.
He's in prison at the moment, so.
Is he, though? Mm. Is he? Wait and see. Ooh.
Ooh.
I'll tell you what we do need to bring back, and this is a job for you. You need to do a quiz for me with that amazing pigeon cardboard cutout.
I still got it, yeah. It's
yeah, I know you've still got
room,
it.
Yeah.
We have to use it again, because that was season one and it never made a comeback, even though we said, this is going to make a comeback.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, okay. I can do more.
That definitely needs to come back.
Well, that's what we used to do on the Three Dads, One Pod stuff, is I used to call you guys up, because I love doing the quizzes online.
Yes.
You know, what Simpsons character are you? You know,
well,
that kind of ridiculous, stupid shit on there.
Another thing that's going to be coming up, actually, and let me just say this before I forget, and it's to do with the gaming that we were talking about. We are going to try and do some more gaming-based videos. I don't know if we'll stream them live as well and then just put the live version on YouTube or if we'll actually do some fixed recording of gaming instead. I think it's probably going to be more that than streaming.
Yeah, probably more fixed. I would like to do it occasionally, you know, like special occasions, because I do like that stuff. But I'm going to be honest, I don't think we have an audience that wants to watch that.
No, I think you're right. And I think we don't want to end up in a place like Biffo does, who has an amazing gaming channel, has this new amazing channel with a different direction, and then being stuck in the middle going, I want to go both ways, but I can't because one's more popular than the other. I'd rather concentrate on the variety show pod stuff. And yeah, maybe we'll just make it fixed videos instead and people watch them. I mean, the YouTube channel is a real higgledy-piggledy thing anyway, with random videos about telescopes, crap I've bought on eBay, all our podcast videos, our short films are on there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe we need to split it all into its own channels and just have a podcast channel, a short film channel, and maybe just make them separate things so people can just watch what they want then and make it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I mean, a proper workshopping while being recorded. You've got a quite a following on your channel, so it kind of is nice to take advantage of that, you know.
Well, yeah, and we still can. I think I've just got to go onto there and tidy it up, really. I mean, it was nice to see that we have actually, in the past 2 months, shot up 100 subscribers. So I don't know what has happened there. It was just below 400 when I looked before Christmas, and then we're at 508 now.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
Considering it's mostly just our pods going on there.
Well, yes and no. I mean, the C-Star telescope video has clocked over 12,000 views in 5 months, which is probably best performance I've ever done on a video. Mm-hmm. But even things like your Untitled Sci-Fi show is getting a load of views. So episode one was 62 views. Flash Gordon's 38 views already.
Oh, nice. That came out today.
That seems to be clocking up nicely. So, yeah, we will do more with YouTube, I think. And you're right, maybe the video game stuff should be on there, especially as we've got the Analog 64 coming for you. Mm-hmm. We've got the Superstation coming for me, which basically means we can now play original games on almost any platform from our youth. That's mm-hmm. Saturn, PlayStation, N64. Mm-hmm. We can do it now.
Yeah.
And as it's HDMI output, we can record it a lot more easily. So I think we'll have a lot of fun with that. The other thing I thought, and literally just thought while we were chatting before we started recording, we've got a new mixer mm-hmm. and it's very cool. We're learning to use it. And one of the things it can do is phone calls. I think we should start phoning people with those quizzes you used to do.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Karen, Adam, Ross, Simon, you might get phone calls midway through recording and be expected to join in.
Or by the way, we record at like 10 o'clock at night, so take your phone off silent.
Or the other thing I was thinking with that is when I do a quiz for you, mm-hmm. get someone on the phone as well, like SideQuest Mark. When we did the N64 music quiz, I would have loved to have pitched you against someone.
Yeah.
Or even do it as a phone a friend.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Quick, Mark, what game was this? I don't know. Shit, that was a waste. Winner! But that's the state of it. We're not going anywhere, obviously. We've got season 3 in us, so we've got another 24 to 25 episodes before next year. Mm-hmm. We've got loads to pack into it, and it's just going to be more of the same. And if you're here for it, we're glad to have you here.
You know what I would like? More emails.
I would love more emails.
I love getting emails.
I would love more feedback, full stop, whether it's on Blue Sky, Twitter, Facebook, Thread, you name it. I'd love some more feedback. Mm. So, yeah, send us emails, send us social media, get those details at the end of the show. And also, I should say, this is the year of Retro Rambles. So I've already got 2 new ones recorded, and mm-hmm. that will be going out shortly, and then a week after this comes out. And that was Nikki, who created a game called Quantum Witch. You may have known her from...
Nikki. Yeah, I occasionally have back and forth Blue Skies.
Yeah.
Reposts with them.
Yeah. But I've been friends with Nikki since the Nikki and Bunty days when they used to stream together. Bunty's her wife, and met them at Digitizer at Cheap Show Live.
You've spoken about them before. How have I never connected these dots?
They are absolutely fantastic. And Nikki was so kind to come on, and we ended up chatting for over an hour on the Retro Rambles for her.
Oh, cool.
And then today's Retro Ramble I recorded was with DJ Slopes of Slopes Games Room, and that was really good fun, really exciting stuff as well. And of course, there's me. So bless him, Dan was late. He just completely forgot. Mm. But literally the weekend that's just gone, he also released a video of I nearly got conned, find out how. And basically he thought he was getting into a collaboration, and it wasn't. It was a scam. And then he said, and then since then, it's been kind of the floodgates have opened. Then I'm sat there today thinking, he's not turned up. Does he think I'm a scam? Yeah. So it's kind of been one of those, oh, no moments. Mm. But anyway, that's the future.
I'm going to... message Nikki right now and say thank you.
Nice one.
We all know the boys like reminiscing. Let's see what their best bits of last season were.
So it's been 2 years of the podcast, mm-hmm. and we've never done a best of. And we probably should have. We probably should have done a best of for those two holidays we took, but I really couldn't be asked. I was on holiday.
Yeah.
To put it bluntly. So I thought we should really talk about some of the best bits that we've done in the show. Which bits have made us laugh the most? I'm going to let you go first. Which is your first memory you want to choose?
I had to get you to remind me of them because I've got such a bad memory. But I remember so well the irony spider thing.
The irony spiders. Hang on a moment. I'm going to take us back to that moment. I'm not the best lyricist in the world. I'm not going to lie.
But you've made them to be factually in line with what irony is.
In theory, yes. So, okay.
Wouldn't it be ironic if you were wrong?
I would love it if I'm wrong, and feel free to comment and slag me off all you want.
This is old bananas.
What's that?
This is like old bananas.
Huh?
Old banana, new banana taste.
Oh, God, no, not all that again. No, we're not going. Maybe I should just skip this. Okay, right. So, an old man turned 98. He won the lottery and died the next day. So, my thoughts of it should be, an old man turned 98, he won the lottery and received a bill that spends it all the next day.
Well, I don't know if it makes as good a song.
Oh no, it's a shit song, but it's damn slightly more ironic. I've won all the lottery money. It's brilliant. Next day, I've spent it all and it wasn't on me.
Hmm. That banana thing, quickly to go back, by
the
way.
Oh God.
It's like a new thing I tell people.
You're not using it as knowledge.
No, I've said to my parents about it, and my dad's like, yeah, it kind of makes sense. I don't know, who was it who told us that?
That was Shell, aka got stuck in a German bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hello, if you're listening.
Oh, she does. It's a death row pardon 2 minutes too late.
Right.
Should be, it's a death row pardon 2 minutes too late, and you were actually guilty. There you go. That's irony. Oh no, we've got the pardon for him. Oh, we've killed him already. Well, that's lucky because it turned out he was actually guilty.
That's so ridiculous.
Okay, so I've slowly broken Rob there.
I enjoyed that one. That was funny.
It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. Should be. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay when actually you ordered a white fly and a spider.
That doesn't make sense.
Oh, sorry. You ordered a white fly and are a spider.
did you put this into...
No. This is straight from my brain. I know. I can see where you're coming from with the idea that is this AI. I can assure you it's not.
Can you say that one again?
Okay. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. It should be. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay when actually you ordered a white fly and you're a spider.
What's the spider bit for?
Well, because why would you be ordering a fly in your Chardonnay in the first place? He's gone. Oh dear.
It doesn't make sense.
I still think an old man turned 98, he won the lottery and received a bill that spent it all the next day is a better line than the original.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that one, I think we really did laugh ridiculously hard with on that one. Nearly as much, and I couldn't tell, I don't know if we laughed more at that than we did at when we had to redo films with Muppets.
Yes.
And that was just unbelievable fun. Yes!
With the Muppets. Yes! Now, I'm keeping Liam Neeson as himself.
Yeah,
because you have to keep Liam Neeson as himself.
Exactly. If anyone's ever seen Ted,
mm-hmm.
Have you seen? Is it Ted? One or two? Ted's basically a working in a their equivalent
the
of a Tesco. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Liam Neeson comes up and he just starts talking to him about cereal. And it's like this is perfect.
Now, I don't know if Ryan is really going to work, but his daughter, Kim, is going to get played by Miss Piggy.
Of course.
Of course. Which is great for the end bit where she's like doing the stripper kind of dance. So I didn't know a lot of the characters' names.
Okay.
But she's going to get kidnapped So that young person that the woman meets, who she kind of fancies,
is actually French, the instigator.
Yeah, well, they're in France.
Yeah, so
is a bean bunny.
Nice.
Yeah, so I thought young, kind of sweet. Miss Piggy's like, oh, this young little rabbit likes me. Let's go together.
So
but actually, he's a wanker.
Yep.
The copper, which is played by Olivier Raborden. He's called Jean-Claude, is his character's name. He's going to be played by Sam Eagle.
Nice. He's
kind of an authoritative figure. I know, like, Sam Eagle is really kind of patriotic to America, but I needed an authoritative proper figure, even though they're kind of actually assholes.
I'd originally gone for President Snow, but I just thought, no, I need some. If it's going to be a true kind of, I need someone that's got that little bit more comic kind of character to it. And I thought Pepe for that, but
yeah,
I get that for your choice, absolutely.
The table scene with all the miscellaneous thugs, where he has that kind of really good fight scene.
Yeah,
that is Electric Mayhem.
Yes.
So it's Animal, it's Dr. Teeth, it's Floyd Pepper, it's Janice, it's Zoot, it's all of that lot at the table.
Spoilers, Animal is in one of my films as well.
Is he? So they're the ones who he has a big fight with. Now, the next real big scene, the auction house, Miss Piggy's in the middle.
Yeah.
And they've got someone bidding on him. And that is Johnny Flamer.
Oh, I know who you mean.
The Frank Sinatra style character. I wanted someone who was kind of like
suave
and posh looking. I was like, that's the guy. And then when they get to the man on the yacht.
Okay, yes.
Who's that going to be played by? You've said him already.
Oh, it's not Pepe, is it?
Pepe the King Prawn. It's the man on the yacht.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a brutal film as well.
Yeah, just love the idea of Liam Neeson just
punching Muppets.
Just be like loads of like fluff, and there's that film I haven't seen it all the way through, where it's that detective film where the Muppets, there's like Muppets in it. It has woman from Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that, but there was also a TV series.
There's like a sex scene in that too.
Yeah, there was also a TV series about like a copper who gets paired up and he's got to solve crimes in like Puppetville or something like that. And that was brilliant as well. I really like the fact that it could be truly brutal as well. And you would get away with it. So can you remember your films that you did for the Muppets?
Oh, dude, you're going to have to be pausing that again.
Yeah, no, okay, look, I'm going to pause it while we find our notes. So after that brief pause and we find our notes again, interesting, that episode was the rant about Oasis tickets. We talked about Beetlejuice for me, and that you saw Madame Web.
Yep. God, Madame Web.
Oh, my God, we unboxed Pitterman. Who still sits next to me.
Pitterman, yeah.
Pitterman. And we taste tested Oreo Coke, which, if I remember rightly, wasn't awful, but wasn't brilliant at the same time.
Yeah, it was meh. I don't remember the actual score I gave.
Oh, God, no, I don't remember the score. Let's not go that far. But it was episode 41. We called it Muppet Taken. And the main idea of that show was we had to find three films and we could choose any film we want, but we then had to convert the characters, all bar one, into Muppets.
That was it.
And I'd chosen The Hunger Games, which I still stand by. That would be a bloody brilliant film to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Armageddon and Star Trek First Contact.
And I did Taken, Beetlejuice and Deliverance.
Deliverance still gets me. Deliverance is just brutal, but it was Muppet Taken.
Because I didn't realize you'd told me about that Kermit thing.
Yeah. So Seth MacFarlane does Taken in Kermit's voice.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And it's just such a wonderful moment when he pulled it out. And I think it was the Graham Norton show, but he's done it on loads of shows.
I've seen
now.
It now, yeah.
And it's so funny. And it just makes me laugh. But as soon as I heard you doing Muppet Taken, it's like, that's amazing, just seeing Liam Neeson running around punching Muppets as well. And
I could really see it. That's the thing. I could see Liam Neeson being the human in one of those.
What about what's your next one? What's your next favourite memory would you go with?
I have enjoyed the ones where we go out and do stuff. So, like, the three that come to mind, like, when we were in the field, I enjoyed going in the field. Randomly, we were out in that field.
Welcome back to the Variety Show podcast, where two men are sat in a dark field. Hello, Rob.
Hello. Who says that? Hello?
Hello.
I can't see you.
Is it
hello?
Me you're looking for?
I'm in a field.
Yeah. It's been sticky balls, really sweaty, disgustingly hot today.
Yeah.
And my office, where we normally film the Variety Show, is so fucking hot. I think we would have both passed out. So We're in a field at the back of my house. It's just a very, very, very weird way of recording it. We're sat in the dark. You might just be able to hear the dulcet tones of the M1 motorway buzzing away.
Yeah. Ah, don't you just love nature?
Yes. Beautiful nature as you see the shooting stars that come straight out of Luton and do a loop around before coming back.
I can just about see the Big Dipper there.
So that was last summer, and it was disgustingly hot. And I'd already been working in my office all day, and I was dripping. And I just remember saying to you, we cannot record in here. We're going to the field out the back. And it was just lovely, wasn't it? It was just this really cool breeze by the end of it. We had kind of the hum of the motorway behind us. We were then both constantly like squirrel every time a traffic camera went off,
and then we had that awful Duff beer from Lidl.
Oh god, yes,
it
was the Duff beer.
Yeah,
yeah, that was shit.
It was gross. Still taste it now. I very really well remember that Duff
beer.
It
was really dirty, cheap beer, and it definitely didn't deserve the name of Duff.
No.
And then I guess you're thinking about the other time with the fireworks.
Yeah, I loved the fireworks. Yeah, they were just so disappointingly brilliant.
Oh, it stinks.
Yeah, they absolutely reek. I'm getting it right in my face. It fucking reeks.
Oh.
I can't imagine the carcinogens in this. More carcinogens than this or that drink we had the other week?
Yeah, well. It's gone.
Right, these are the ones I'm looking forward to. An ice fountain.
An ice fountain.
Looks like you're meant to spike this into the ground.
Yeah, I'm going to hold it. 19 me. Is going to hold this motherfucker.
This is how the intro of an episode from Holby City starts.
Yeah, no, not Holby City. This is
Casualty.
This is Casualty, full on. There's not even a...
Where did you light it? It's on the end.
It's just on the end. But, right, let's make sure I've actually got it in.
Well, this is like a really thick candle. Oh, my God. It's a birthday candle.
It's, yeah, you get these on birthdays.
I mean, it looks like a candle.
It's pretty.
Looks like you'd put it in a cake. It's got the same bit on it.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you would. It's pretty. It's doing what it says on the tin, but there's nothing... Well, it's the most spectacular we've had tonight.
It's the most fireworky one.
So if I'm going to rate this and saying five is spectacular
in the realm of...
Then that was a five.
That's a five, yeah.
In the realm of everything else... Yeah, they were beyond disappointing. They really ruined my memory of my youth because it's like, these used to be good. What happened?
Yeah.
I'm sure they probably weren't good and it was just little me going, oh, wow, look, you're so good, Mum.
Yeah. And then I think one of my favourite things, also show, but of last year was, because we just got to meet, well, I mean, you'd already met them all before, but I got to meet some really cool people as when we went gunting.
Oh, wow, yeah, gunting. What was your favourite part of the night?
Oh, that's a good question. The bit, it was really interesting when it was you, Pseudosapien, and myself in the kind of kids' room.
Yes.
And that's what I'm calling it because, as we later found out, that was the room that supposedly had the child haunting it. Because that's where all of our activity happened.
Well,
air quotes for the people
big
listening.
Activity.
That's
for the people that are watching, yeah, bunny quotes.
Two very specific things happened to us in that room. But what I also enjoyed, it sounds weird to say it now, I enjoyed when we did the game with the cards.
That was really good.
As I was not expecting to feel how I felt.
No, I wasn't. And as Paul said, this isn't necessarily, or it wasn't necessarily a supernatural thing, more a human condition and psychological thing instead.
Yeah, my brain failed me on that. I think we'll get to that eventually. But
yeah, we will get to that. We'll go through the night
as it happens.
Because he did that last. Yeah, he did that last. And I think what we should do is we should go through the evening as the evening panned out.
Yeah, we got invited by Mr. Paul Gannon of Cheap Show on a little separate project of his to go ghost hunting in Peterborough. Mr. Biffo, Sanya, Sudo, Ashens, Ryan. It was brilliant. It was such a good night. And I'm looking, hopefully this year, there's going to be another gunting episode for us to do.
If he invites us again, I'd love to go.
I believe we're invited. It's the Hellfire Caves, hopefully, this year. But there's a lot of stuff people are involved in and getting on that has to come first. So if time permits, I think it's happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, either way, I'm looking forward to that. But, yeah, you're right. That was a really, really good time. And I don't know. I didn't know what to expect of ghost hunting.
Mm.
It was just one of those things that, as much as I don't believe in ghosts, it actually was really fun and made me think, which is a dangerous thing.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun there. I think I might have said to you before or on the show before, I had done ghost hunting before, but it was such a farce that it just really just put the mockers on the whole thing. But this was totally different. We all had a lot of fun, but I think that we took it seriously. Everyone took it seriously at the point in time that it was needed to be taken seriously. But it was, yeah, I think everyone had a lot of fun. I mean, everyone's just got to go watch Biffo's and Sanya's video to know how much fun that they had.
It wasn't worth putting up our video. I will put it up because I know Sudo's really keen on me putting up our footage. So I will do it eventually. I'm going to try and really push that out this year.
Yeah. But Sudo was a highlight for me too. They're really good fun to hang around with.
Amazing fun. I think the final memories we're going to, there's so many we could have gone with. So many. But I'm going to go for more recent ones now.
Mm-hmm.
There were two episodes at Christmas. There was the Advent that we just couldn't stop laughing. And it's just like, we cannot release. I need a button for Nonce Watch. We need a button for Nonce Watch.
It was to do with Cliff Richard, right? We were talking about Cliff Richard.
I can't remember which day it was. It was something like either 13 or 18, I think. And it's just like, we cannot have an episode where we are just laughing.
No, I think you might have said something incredibly inappropriate. And it was linked to Nonce Watch, Cliff Richard, and Top of the Pops.
Oh, possibly. Because I also know I set you off when I said, this is Christmas, goddammit. It's nothing to do with Jesus. See, it set them off again. It's amazing. But I think my favourite Christmas memory of last year still has to be, and it's the episode title that still does it, Merry Christmas, now go watch Schindler's List.
Oh, yeah.
I did go and see Red One.
Yes, was it good?
No, it's shit, but... It's shit in a good way. It is not a good film.
Jacked is Santa Claus in that?
Oh my God, J.K. Simmons, a beast. But it's not a good film. It's not designed, even though The Rock was basically quoted as saying, I sat and watched Oppenheimer on the super big IMAX screen and thought, wow, what we're doing with Red One is going to be a technical marvel. No,
is he fucking on crack?
You're playing an elf who's protecting Santa Claus who gets kidnapped. Trust me, it's not Oppenheimer. If you're looking for a fun Christmas film, just to switch your brain off and just enjoy.
Why not watch Oppenheimer? Schindler's List? It's watch Schindler's List. You want a happy Christmas film? Fucking hell. It's the same comparison, isn't it?
Look, all I'm saying, Red One. Red One
is a Christmas Schindler's List.
Is fun. That's all it needed to be. Okay. It is not a film that's going to be a classic in the future. It's not even going to be one of those films that people will discover in the future and go, oh, this should have got more love when it came out. It's just stupid fun that you can turn your brain off and just have fun with. It's not a good film by a long shot, but it's enjoyable for what it is.
I mean, for him to have that opinion, he needs to get off of fucking steroids.
Oh, 100%. But can I just point out, there have been some good modern Christmas films, and the one that I'm really looking forward to showing Jen, because I didn't manage to show her last year, Violent Night. I mean, it's just so stupid that we end up, we're talking about films, and it's just like, oh,
Schindler's List must be a Christmas film then.
Snowing it.
Oh dear, what a wonderful time. And it's going to be well past the 15 minutes. I'm looking at the time here thinking, oh, 13 minutes 30. We're not near the 15 minutes. And that's without the clips I'm going to insert, yeah. You dumb fuck. Oh, bollocks.
Have you ever had a monkey's paw? What would you wish for? Really? That's disgusting.
It's time for a new game.
Mm-hmm.
And this is called Monkey Paw.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a monkey paw is?
I do know what a monkey paw is.
What is a monkey paw?
So it's literally the paw of a monkey. And you make wishes and the finger goes down, but the wishes are always not really. They are literally the wish.
So,
and all the consequences that come with that wish.
100%.
Yeah.
So this game is very much you've got to, and then I'll have a go at it as
I've
well.
I've seen some great TikToks.
You've
stuff like
got
this.
To try and come up with a wish that I cannot ruin.
Right. You know, can I tell you the best TikTok one I've seen of
oh,
it?
Oh, go on then, go on.
It to make all of the, every pedo disappear. And then the guy's like, okay. And he just basically just makes pedos invisible.
That's the one.
Nonswatch.
Nonswatch. Oh, no. So that is the game. So
okay.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to press pause and I'm going to let you have 5 minutes to think of three wishes. And they've got to be the best wishes you can do that you think will cause either no chaos that I can cause chaos with, or the least amount of damage with.
Right.
Okay.
So think of these wishes that I might actually want for myself, or just a wish.
It's,
just a
it's up to you. You could it could benefit you. It could benefit your family. It could benefit the world.
Right.
So yeah, I'm going to give you 5 minutes from now.
Oh gosh, many caveats in.
Oh, he's put too many caveats in. You heard it here first. So we've come out of the pause. He's had 5 minutes and he's had three wishes and he's already told me he's written caveats for those wishes, which I already wasn't expecting. I thought he might just go straight up dirty bareback wish.
Because I haven't had enough time to really think. If you'd told me a few days before, I might have given you short ones.
Oh, but where would the fun be?
Yeah, but now you're going to have to listen to the very long wish number one.
Okay, then. Wish number one. Hit me with it. I am your monkey paw.
No one. Sorry, let me get to the microphone. I wouldn't have been picked up. No one needs money anymore. Everyone just does things out of the goodness of their heart, and everyone is equal, and you can't fuck it up because everyone loves each other. But not in a sexual way, just a platonic way, unless they do actually love each other, in which case they love each other, but only consensual.
Right.
So basically like Star Trek, where there's no money, people just do things because it's for the greater good, and everyone's happy with doing it. You know, people are happy with doing the bins. People are happy with all the jobs that some people may or may not think are worth their time in doing. Everyone does it because they all have the greater good of doing it. You don't need money.
Fine. Okay. What you failed to mention in that wish is it didn't apply to consenting adults. You just said people. So what you now have is a world of 5-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 30-year-olds all falling in love. And as it's consensual, are now
off.
Moving on.
No, you haven't so made Nonswatch out of my first wish.
You have developed a world of 1984 by George Orwell. No, sorry, it wasn't George Orwell 1984. It's a Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, where they have sex lessons, where the kids just have sex with each other. So that is what you've created. You've created a pop. Yeah, you didn't mention adults. You've just said people, and people include children.
I said, but if they do actually love each other, in which case they love each other.
And children quite often say, I love so-and-so. This is what you've created.
Oh, fuck.
You've created a very filthy, fucking dirty world. You disgust me. Would you like to retract that wish?
No, I've done it now, haven't I?
Okay, next wish.
Right. All food tastes nice and is really healthy for you, so you can eat whatever food you like and whatever amount you like, but you'll never get fat or ill. It's just healthy for you and you enjoy it.
Okay, that's an interesting one. However, it's really good that all food tastes really good, it's really healthy for you, and no matter how much you eat, you won't get fat.
So what then happened was you developed a nation, not just a nation, sorry, a world of overeaters, and you overstressed the food ability of the planet, which means after about a year, there wasn't enough stored food on the planet for people to eat, which meant they slowly started to die. And that meant only the rich got food because they could afford it. The poor couldn't. So what you've actually done is you've made the most delicious food that everyone wants to eat and left most of the population starving because they can no longer afford food.
Fuck.
There you go.
They could have started eating each other, and if people are food, then people will start tasting us.
I could have said they also turned to cannibalism.
Yeah, okay, I should have saw that coming. All right, number three. Every time I play the lottery, I win. And it's not because I'm the only winner, but because when I play, I am the only winner, right? But it's not because the other people who play die, or there's no reason why they can't collect their winnings. I'm the only one who has those numbers. So I win. But also, I'm never found out, and everyone just thinks I'm just really lucky.
That's absolutely fine until you realise that all financial institutions collapse because you now have the world's gross money.
Yeah, but I'm not going to play it every week.
You didn't say that. You said you win it every time.
Every time I play is what the words I said.
Is it?
Yeah. Every time I play the lottery, I win.
Right. Okay.
I've thought of this before. I've actually had this.
No, that's
this
fine.
Dream
okay.
before.
Unfortunately, bankers are often rhymed with wankers for very good reason.
Mm.
And one of them has leaked that you have a small fortune.
Mm.
And you are basically assassinated for your money. You have a long, 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 long list of women who come saying that either they bore your child at some point or they caught something from you and therefore you have to give them money. And it gets so out of hand that eventually someone turns up and shoots you because they want your money.
Oh, that's all right.
You become a targeted person. Or actually, just go another way. Okay, actually, no, we'll go another way. Actually, I've got a better way for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a better way for you, obviously. You become so rich, you become the next Jeff Bezos. And everyone hates you as much as Elon Musk. And in fact, you also end up doing an accidental Nazi salute. which then leads you to being most hated person in the world at that point.
If monkey paws thing aside, if this was actually true, because I have dreamt this kind of scenario before, that every time I play the lottery, I win and I'm the only winner.
It would be amazing.
I would only play it when I needed a bit more. I wouldn't be the person who would play it 10 times. I'd play it, win the Euro Millions. You wouldn't have to actually play it ever again. You could only play it, you'd play like one more time.
Yep.
To win the Euro Millions again.
It's so disappointing. Whenever I enter the lottery, I always have lovely dreams of winning and what I'll do with the money. And I have set plans of exactly how I'll spend it, who I'll help, how I'll help them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wake up to the... There's an email.
Yeah, you check. Yeah, you've
check
got
your account. Yeah. Oh, it's a fucking lucky dip. Always, it's never the good news.
Yeah,
it's quite an enjoyable game. I'm not going to do one. What I am going to say, because it's getting near the time limit on this section, if you have a wish that you think can beat the monkey paw, i.e., me and Rob, send it into email. Send it to us on social media. And we'll see if we can ruin your wish. And I'm going to limit your wish has to be under 500 characters.
500?
250.
I mean, that's a lot of characters. Okay. I mean, my long one isn't 250 characters.
Okay, it should be under 200 characters. That's a fair amount.
Oh, if they're putting all the caveats in.
All the caveats and stuff, yeah. Your wish has to be under 200 characters because that's just how monkey paws work. They understand the word limits, and send them in to us and we'll try and ruin them as they come in.
Okay.
Today's taste test is brought to you by Prison Pigeon. At least he isn't an incompetent bastard, or is he?
It's taste test time.
Hooray.
Right, and we've got a special guest one. Hang on, wait, what's that I can hear?
It's prison pigeon territory. Oh, mate, come down from there, for fuck's sake.
When did you get out of prison?
Oh, I thought you'd landed there. You're not... The fucking... You just settle the fuck down. Jesus fucking Christ. Right. He's fucked it up, by the way.
What's that?
He's fucked up the taste test.
Well, how's he done that?
I asked him, bring us the stuff from our very first actual taste test so we can retaste test it. Because, you know, where's my phone? Look. Okay. I messaged him and said, look, if you're out of prison, he said he was. Brilliant.
Okay.
Very glad he behaved and
shit.
Why
didn't you text me, you fucking prick?
Well, we'll get into that another day. Something about what you did to him, his sister. I've got no idea.
You dropped the fucking soap, mate. It's not my problem.
So I'd even gotten so far. I've gone back and listened to the old episodes, which I never do. And we got Dr. Pepper Cherry Vanilla. And I said it was a full stop 5. You said it was a 4-point aspartame. We had the Lion Bar Brownie, 5.9 and 2 watermelons by you, 5.9 and 7/8 by me. And then we had the Yorkie Orange. And I said it's a 5-point Terry, and you said it was a 5-point Terry.
Oh, lovely.
In fact, that was the first time we'd even come up with a score of 2 to 6.4. Mm-hmm. Can I also point out, it only took one episode for us to fuck it up and say it was 2.4 and 6. Because we're that good. Not even one episode and we got our own scoring wrong.
Okay, we're going with 2 to 6.4,
which is what we've done for the vast majority of it.
Okay.
So I said to Pridgen, you're out. Brilliant. Go and rob me the newsagent and go and get me a Dr. Pepper Cherry, vanilla, a Lion Bar Brownie, and a Yorkie Orange.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what the dickheads brought back.
I can't quite see it.
Dr. Pepper Cherry, nearly. A Lion Bar White, which was the next episode. A Blue Mountain Dew that looks like it should go in your engine to clean it. And I think there's another chocolate bar down there.
It does look like that blue, what's it called? Blue.
Oh, AdBlue? No, AdBlue.
AdBlue, yeah.
And we've also got a honeycomb fucking Yorkie, which isn't orange at all.
It looks nice, though.
Yeah, no. Okay, so this is where I got really pissed off with him. Dr. Pepper Cherry, we bring it up in episodes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we ever actually tried it.
I wonder if we said...
I thought we did. We definitely said, when we did the cherry vanilla one, I say there's a cherry one and it's really, really strong of cherry.
Yeah.
And then I've looked at all the other episodes. We do the vanilla float one and I can't find if we did this one.
I've got a feeling I'll like that.
So, yeah, you're possibly going to like that. So, fine. Okay, not too bad. We're doing something we may not have done before, or even if we have, you probably haven't listened that back earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, fine. It's new. The Lion Bar White, we've already done. And I don't have what the score bloody well was for that. So we're just going to have to eat it and give it a new score.
Did you break these in half? Oh, it's a duo. Oh, you don't like duos.
You say that in the next bloody episode. And the next episode, after the one where we do our first taste test, is the Lion Bar White. And he's like, your exact words are, oh, it's a duo. You don't like duos.
Yes, because you complained about the Mars duo all the fucking time.
Not all the fucking time. Grow up, you bitch.
You do.
I do.
It's the first
not.
Thing you say to me every morning. It's fucking, I hate Mars Bar Duo.
Every morning I say it, do I?
Yeah, look, I'll get my. Look, let me get my phone. You did a voice note to me this morning.
What?
That's me saying you're actually going to have to pretend to do a voice note now, going, good morning. No. Just messaging you to say I don't
you
like.
Can go fuck yourself.
Okay, well, here it goes. Look, here we go. Ready? Hello, Rob, this is Tom. I'm just letting you know that I really dislike Mars Bar Duos. My favorite is a king size, you know, because I'm a king myself. Anyway, have a nice day. Beep.
Oh,
see, there you go.
And you know that's fake, because if I'd said that, it's like, you know I like a king size because it's like my cock.
No, it's just...
Non-existent now. You can't buy it anymore.
You like because it's got really big
hands. Has ridges
really
like
wolf.
And that's got him. Oh dear.
This is so gross.
Dirty, dirty sexual Star Trek content.
Oh, that's the old pod. We don't do Star Trek content anymore.
Star Trek, what's that?
Yeah, I've never seen it before.
Right.
Are we eating these then?
Yeah, we might as well eat them because the prick has bought them, so we're going to go back in time and we're going to taste out shit
Now, I'm glad he kind of did bring the Mountain Dew, though, because I think it's almost... In fact, I could tell you exactly what episode number it is.
How much of this is going to give us cancer?
Oh, probably a lot. And I must admit, Jem did give me an app that I must install that you can scan anything and it tells you exactly what it's going to do to you.
What do you mean?
It will tell you, this is healthy to eat. This isn't too good, but don't worry, you can eat it. Or this has so many dirty chemicals in it, you are going to die of being rotted from the inside out.
Well, I told my parents about that horrible can.
Oh, yeah.
And like, oh, Robert, it's not really going to kill you. They sell it in America. It's fine. I was like,
yeah, look at America.
Yeah, but they don't have the same regulations that we do.
They're currently being presided over by an Oompa Loompa.
Politics.
Oh, politics. Sorry. Right. So it was season one, episode 5, where it's my big birthday special.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring some sweet treats with me just for us to eat while we do the birthday episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a few episodes later that we actually start doing taste tests. But in the big birthday special, you say, oh, thank God you didn't bring a horrible energy drink with you. I can't stand those things. They make me really wired and make me feel really unwell.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oh, and it was this.
Well, no, this is new. This
is a new one, right?
I'm glad the pigeon nicked it. Well, I'm not glad he nicked it.
Well, hang on. He stole this.
It's all stolen merch.
What's he doing with the float that I gave him?
Where's
the float?
Oh, you gave him money. Stop giving him money. All he does is buy crack. Crack and seed.
Yeah, oh, I've seen that fucking documentary, you stupid little prick.
Yeah, I noticed Channel 5 don't air it again. It got shown once and that was it.
Yeah, there's no reruns.
Bit like Big Body Squad. No one wanted to watch it.
What's that?
It was a fat person ambulance show that I was on.
You were on it?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it was an ambulance show that discussed us carrying around big fat people in special ambulances, and I was in an episode of it, not as the patient.
I was thinking, like, you're not big and fat, TJ. Why have they got you on it?
No, because I was on the ambulance.
Right.
And the long and the short of it is there's a brilliant bit where the voiceover person goes, sometimes Tom just needs to lend a supportive ear. And I just got a message from someone, oh, you lent a supportive ear, did you? I said, no, he was a fat cunt who wasn't helping himself at all.
Is that what you said on the show?
No, afterwards I did, though. He wasn't helping himself.
Were they being sarcastic when they said that?
My friend was, yeah.
They weren't being sarcastic on the show?
No, the show wasn't being. So we took this bloke to a flatbed CT scanner because he couldn't fit in normal CT scanners.
Right.
And just to point out, if he hadn't fit on the CT scanner at this place, the next place he would have had to have gone is Whipsnade Zoo, because that's where they send the really big people. Didn't know that, did you?
I really tried.
Yep. They did. But...
haven't got walruses there.
It got me really, really... No, but they've got gorillas and
they've
shit.
They've got bears. Well, the bears haven't shot.
But the thing is... Oh, don't. That's horrible. It's true, but horrible. No, the thing that really pissed me off, the very beginning bit, they've got him sniffling and crying, going, all I want to do is be able to pick up my son without having any problems. Then we went through the whole episode, got back.
You're coming off very insensitive.
Yeah, false. And then he's in a bariatric ward at the hospital.
I don't know what that means. What does bariatric mean?
Fat person. A specialist ward to help overweight people.
Okay, right.
And they allow him to order kebabs and pizzas to his bedside.
That's fucking stupid.
And that's exactly what he did. We got back and he ordered pizza and kebab to his bed.
Was he overweight because of a medical condition or he just overate?
It was just overeating.
It was self-inflicted.
Self-inflicting.
He's not got like a mental disorder in some way. He hasn't
as far as I'm aware, not at all.
Physical condition. Right, okay.
No.
Well, I've been on telly too.
Have you?
I've been on DIYSOS.
Oh, of course you have. Yes, you said.
The Welland Garden City episode, you'll see.
Rob the Builder.
Let's not put that in tray again.
No,
there's a great bit where I suppose you're right, it's not on the show because it's something that happened off the show. It's on Facebook. My friend Mark, not who I spoke, a different Mark, is on there with me and Guy, the electricians I was working with. Mark's aunt is writing on Facebook, and there's a screenshot or the back of somebody going, oh, I know my Marky anywhere. I love it. And it's a fucking picture of me.
Oh,
and it's
brilliant.
A running joke that we have constantly now because we don't look that similar.
Oh, fantastic.
She's like, I know my Marky anywhere. I saw him. It was so good to see him on the show. It's fucking me.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Right. Let's crack on with this then because we are getting near the time limit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my voice is disappearing.
What are we doing first? Can we do this horrible one first?
Let's do the dirty blue stuff
first. Are
we just
sharing? I mean, I haven't got a disease.
The piss of a Smurf.
Do you have cups?
No, we're just going to share the bottle like the dirty bareback as we are.
Do you want to sniff before?
You can have a sniff if you want.
Oh, fuck, that sounds revolt. Smells revolting.
Sounds revolting.
It smells revolting.
Let's have a look here. So this is Mountain Dew Blue Shock. Dew charged with raspberry citrus flavour.
It stinks.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No, that smells like something terrible.
Well, I've just had a taste of it. First of all,
I've got it.
Right. In my head, I know exactly what that tastes of. And I think when I say it to you, you're going to agree.
Okay, well, let me taste it first.
Yep, I'm going to let you taste it first. It's definitely got the blue razz. I know.
Oh, it's flat.
It is flat. I thought it was going to be fizzy, but it's flat.
Oh, it's tastes like a melted ice lolly.
Melted ice lolly or the bubble, either bubblegum Panda Pop or bubblegum, those plastic drink containers you used to get at junior school discos.
Yeah, absolutely right. That's what it tastes like. It's gross.
It's not good. It's got quite a potent flavour to it, actually.
It's certainly a strong flavour, which isn't what we get with a lot of these flavoured things.
No, quite often you get the flavoured things, and it's like, well, where's the flavour?
It doesn't taste like a Mountain Dew. This tastes like a raspberry citrus drink. It absolutely tastes with what it says, so props to it for that,
yeah.
But it's fucking gross.
It still tastes like Smurf piss, exactly.
So I'm going to give that...
Gargamel would like a golden shower with that. A blue shower. Boom.
A 3-point gargle mail for that. So now I'm not giving it a 2 for a fail.
Yeah.
Which I want to, but I'm not. Because I'm going to give it some props because it actually does taste like what it's meant to. It's just a shame it tastes like shit.
Yeah, okay. That's fair enough. I'm going to give it...
Mountain Dew is very bad for you anyway.
It is really bad for you. I'm going to give that a 3-point take me back to the junior school discos.
Take me back to the
junior
disco.
School disco. When Jimmy Savile, well, fuck's sake, no.
Why?
Right, Lion Why? Bar next.
Why?
Lion Bar next. Now, this is one that we've already voted on
I'm
before.
Surprised he got this, everyone, because he doesn't like duos.
And I'm...
you know what? I think I said that this looks like an old dog poo.
You said it looks like a dog poo. I said it looks like the white dog poos that you no longer see on the streets. And that came after you came back from Canada and you bought us... Oh, Henry's.
Oh, yeah. You've definitely re-listened.
Which really does look
like
shit.
You don't
shit.
Get dog poos like this in America. I think the theory is it was the food that people used to give dogs made their poo go white after a while when it was outside, but now they have better quality ingredients in dog food. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, the story is more meat in actual food for dogs. Therefore, you don't get dried up crusts of sawdust and sand, basically. Mm. I mean, that's an epic chocolate bar. It's really nice. It's got the... I think we make a mistake at one point where we say it's got Kit Kat in it, but actually it is kind of Kit Kat with Rice Krispies on the outside. You've got the chewy caramel. Mm. The white chocolate's not overpowering.
No.
It's
almost an afterthought.
The brownie one was superior.
I don't remember what I gave this before, but it's nice today.
It is nice today, and I think we'll just give it... I'm going to give it a score straight up of a 5-point, wasn't it nice?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to eat the whole thing.
Yeah, wait until the end of the episode at least so we can get through this.
Sorry.
Otherwise, we're just going to be listening to Rob doing this.
Can you hear that?
Probably.
Oh, sorry, everybody. I am sorry, because I hate that.
Mm.
I'm going to give that a 5-point luscious lion.
Ooh, that's a new one.
That's good.
Okay, Honeycomb Yorkie. Now, I would have thought we would have done this because this one's been around for a while. I only want one chunk of this because we are trying to power through this. Ha ha. So I've got my chunk here. It looks like a standard Yorkie, and I'm pretty sure it's not going to be anywhere near the quality of
smells like...
Oh, wow. It smells of caramel and honeycomb and
fake... Yeah, but burnt honeycomb, sounds like.
I'm going to say this isn't going to be anywhere near the quality of a crunchy.
I'm not convinced mine had any in it.
I don't think mine did. I think I had one little crunchy bit and that was it.
You know what? It does. Crunchy instantly gives me sore throat. One bite into a crunchy. I've finished that. My throat hurts.
Okay, so it must have had something in it, but it's just not satisfying.
Nah.
It's nowhere near as good as the Yorkie Orange, which, as we said, is a 5-point Terry's. It's a nice chocolate bar. The aftertaste isn't that nice. I'm actually going to go a little lower on the score. And I like sweet stuff normally, especially like honeycomb and caramel. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put this as a 4-point. It's not quite right.
Yeah. See, the chocolate is actually nice. Yorkie chocolate's nice. I enjoy Yorkie chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Massively gets lower points for it being the crunchy thing. My throat is actually quite sore now. The highest ingredient in this is sugar. The biggest ingredient
that
in this chocolate bar is sugar.
Me.
And, you know, have a guess when its expiry date is.
3 months' time.
Yeah, the 5th of this, you know, the 5th month.
Oh, wow.
May. So that's really not very far.
Which either means they don't sell very much, so they've been on the shelf for a long time, or they've got some sort of short shelf life. But either way, let's...
Retract. It's a low 4.
Pull out.
Yeah, a 4-point. My throat hurts.
Fair enough. Let's hit that last one then. The Dots Pepper Cherry, which I don't think we have actually done.
I like the can.
The can is really nice. It's a lovely, luscious dark green with the red Dr. Pepper on it, and then you've got a cherry.
A groovy-looking cherry. It looks quite old-fashioned.
Now, I've had this a couple of times before, and every time I've had it, it's been delicious. Nice opening sound.
That was nice. Right, ready?
Watch No Mono remove it. He's had a slurp.
An unintentional slurp, sorry about that.
It's got a pleasing reddish hue to it rather than the standard brown Dr. Pepper.
It tastes like a Dr. Pepper with a cherry taste. That's quite nice.
It does. It's nicer than the standard Dr. Pepper. And I've got to say, as it's the American one, it's much nicer than the British Dr. Pepper, which has been sodomized with sweetener, unfortunately. It just isn't the drink it used to be. I can't drink it anymore. Not because it makes me feel crap. Yeah. It's because it tastes so different.
I always remember it being really, really fizzy.
Yeah, guaranteed to make you burp. You cannot drink a Dr. Pepper. In fact, maybe that should be another video we need to do, the Sprite Challenge, if you've heard of that.
Oh, where everyone nearly dies.
Or makes an amazing burp, but I will have to put a plastic bag over the microphone because I really don't want them covered in Sprite burp vomit.
Yeah, I'll try that game, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're game for that in the summer. What are you going to rate the Dr. Pepper Cherry?
That's a nice drink. I'll probably buy that.
I'm going to put it as a 6-point.
Wow, 6.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
It's a 6. It's nice. Although it's going to be overly sweet because it's the American one, it's not tasting overly sweet. It just has a very nice Dr. Pepper flavor, which is, pardon me, there you go, there's the burps from it. God, and again from the past, but that cherry, it's almost like cherry Bakewell.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice subtle taste to it. So for me, I would buy that over and over again if it wasn't going to cause me massive health problems. So I am going to go with a 6-point. Yummy.
I'm going to go with a 5-point, it's nice to see you, Doctor.
Very nice. So there you go. That was a link back to the original taste test, even though the pigeon... where's he off to? He's off again. He's out the window and... nearly got hit by a car then.
Maybe next time.
Fuck off! Jesus. Fucking prick. Anyway, I'm guessing he's off to go and buy more crack. So... let's leave him to it.
That's it. The shit show is done with. Let's go home, shall we?
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the show. If you would like to find out more about the Variety Show podcast, head over to channel84.co.uk, look up the Variety Show there, and you'll find all the information you could need about us. It's a little bit out of date, but it will be updated shortly. You can email us on tj@channel84.co.uk to speak to me, rob@channel84.co.uk to speak to Rob, or if you want to speak to both of us at exactly the same time, send it to podcasts@channel84.co.uk. That's plural, podcasts@channel84.co.uk. You can find us on the majority of social media platforms, Twitter, Threads, Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky, you name it, we're on them. Just look for The Untitled Sci-Fi Show or Variety Show Podcast and you will find us. Otherwise, that is it. Rob, thank you very much for another end of an old season and start of a new season.
Thank you.
And I shall see you when we next record.
Love you.
Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, shit. Thank fuck me, swearing won't affect this score. Rob and Tom, you're in for trouble.
As punishment for always being so rude, Tom and Rob must eat one bean every time they say a swear word. Yes, even the tamer ones. May the odds be never in your favour. This was a Studio Channel 84 network show. To find more, head over to channel84.co.uk now.